Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, another Tuesday, another protest in downtown Raleigh, North Carolina. Those protests are sparking up all over the country, even in California. They're taking back to the beaches. There's some problems out there. A hairstylist salon owner in Dallas literally just right to their face defied the order down there. Even though Texas is starting to open things up, she said, no, I got to start now. And they opened up and they threatened her. And then they came back later and gave her a bit of a summons and a stand down order. And then she's got a lawyer involved. So people are changing their position daily, hourly. And today, I think an even bigger crowd in downtown Raleigh today for the reopen, hashtag reopen NC movement and protest down there. And like I said, several people got arrested, including Ashley Smith, who's one of the founders, one of the co-founders of the Reopen NC movement and the Facebook page. And I have a friend that was arrested because they dared to step on the sidewalk, which they were told not to step on. Can't step on the sidewalk surrounding the governor's mansion, apparently. Yet another new law. But I had a friend down there. We've known each other, I think, for about 10 years now. Jake McCauley is with the Institute on the Constitution. And we kind of worked it out. Since I'm down here in sunny South Florida, like Rush Limbaugh, Jake was there doing Facebook Live. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be with you again, Steve.
It's great to have you on, and appreciate partnering up with you earlier today. That was great that you were able to be down there. So tell us kind of what you experienced, what you were seeing down there, and then you are a constitutional expert. You teach it all over the country. I teach it here in North Carolina. So let's just get your take on the whole thing.
You got it. Well, going down there today was, first of all, it was a beautiful day. Everybody that I saw, there was a variety of people. So from different backgrounds, also different, you know, belief systems, even political parties. There was a few different parties represented there. But this, we all had the same thing on our mind, and that is, does the government have the ability to individually dictate our conscience, number one, number two, prevent us from meeting together, and number three, do they have the ability to shut down our commerce, our individual businesses, our property, when we haven't even broken a law? And I think all of us unanimously agreed down there that they do not. And it was peaceful. There was a lot of people, a lot of families, a lot of children. One girl held up her sign and said, I would be in school right now if it wasn't shut down. So you had a lot of different viewpoints, and we had a lot of fun. Good people, really mellow. It wasn't super rowdy. There wasn't a lot of profanity at all. Most of these people were Bible-believing Christians that I saw, and they practiced biblical ethics. So those are my people.
Yeah, they're my people as well. Praise the Lord for that. You also met a good friend of mine, Michelle Manley Morrow, who's the one gal who's a nurse that came up, and she sounded like it's like she had a prepared speech, although she didn't. She's just that eloquent. She's actually joining us on Facebook Live right now. So, Michelle, great job. I watched that when you had a chance to talk to Jake. So, Jake, as this stuff all started unfolding and the government stepped in and said, you can't go to work, you can't go to school, we're taking over, this is all in the name of public health and whether they want to claim the general welfare clause or not. But what's been your reaction as we see this on a federal level and a state and local level from a constitutional perspective? What does the Constitution have to say about the COVID-19 shutdown nationwide?
Well, nationwide, I think each individual governor has determined among themselves. Well, there was an argument when Donald Trump put out on social media, I think he tweeted it, but then he also put it on Facebook, that he had the opportunity, I don't have the direct quote, but it was under his jurisdictional authority to either shut down the country or open it up. And all of the governors jumped on the bandwagon and said, oh, no, you can't. It's not your decision. There's checks and balances. There's a separation of federal and state jurisdictions. We have the authorities as governors. And we have a lot of constitutional graduates from our course of study all throughout the country. So my leader started sending emails to me saying, look, this is what it says in our Constitution. A governor can't act unilaterally. And if the governor does act unilaterally, say it's in a time of a crisis or an emergency, which is what they're claiming right now, that is not a binding legislation. It can be an executive order to carry out certain things and certain functions within the executive branch, and their authorities can be found in your state constitution. So constitutionally, a governor cannot stop or shut down the economy of a state. The legislature's job is to check that governor and say you've gone outside of your bounds. You either need to be recalled, potentially impeached, or you need to rescind your order that you're giving out because it's unconstitutional. That is the simple fact of the matter. Federally, the president now has realized, look, I can't do this. I don't have the authority to do that. I can speak. I can give suggestions, recommendations. I can roll out plans, no different than a State of the Union speech to Congress or maybe a proposed budget. But he has no legislative authority to do that. And our state is no different. But Roy Cooper seems to think that he does, and he continues to act he's posturing himself. Yeah. In a way where he continues to aggrandize to himself that authority, ignoring the voice of people, the business and the economy, the infrastructure that is collapsing in our country right now and in our state here and locally. And then also, too, the voice of his legislature. There was many of his of the state legislature that was there speaking out. I just wish they would submit to the Constitution, because there wouldn't be much of a conversation if we just went to what the law states clearly and what his jurisdictional realm and authority is.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we've got, whether it's Governor Cooper or anywhere else in the country, and you might have seen this on Tucker Carlson. This was about 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
The governor of New Jersey, when Tucker said, okay, hey, you arrested 15 Jewish people in their synagogue. What about the Bill of Rights? Where do you have the authority to do that? And the guy literally said, he kind of laughed. He said, oh, that's above my pay grade, and I didn't really think about the Bill of Rights. And I'm sitting there going, hey, dude. That's part of your pay grade, is not only the Constitution of the United States of America, but the Constitution of New Jersey. And the fact that he laughed it off and shrugged it off, we're certainly moving towards a post-Christian nation. We might even be moving, Jake, towards a post-constitutional nation. And that's my concern right now. And I'm also concerned about the fact, now it was great today at the Reopen NC protests and the protests that are showing up around the country, but it really is alarming to me, Jake, and we're talking to Jake McCauley from the Institute on the Constitution. It was alarming to me and troubling to me that the country largely just kind of laid down easily enough going back a couple months, and I think they were able to capitalize on our good-natured, as Americans, as looking out for our neighbors. That's kind of embedded in our DNA as a country in the Judeo-Christian ethic. But to see people continually just to go, okay, well, the government says so, that's scary to me. How do you react to that?
Well, I agree with you. You know, I still, to some extent, have quarantined in my house. I have a very susceptible teenage son.
Yeah.
So for the first 2 weeks, we were kind of like, you know, a little spooked. Nobody really knew.
Right.
None of us knew. But this was a self-governing decision that I did. But moving
forward, I'm going to put you on hold, Jake, because I'm up against a break. We're talking to Jake McCauley, Institute on the Constitution. You can find Jake and the Institute on Facebook. This is Steve Noble. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, coming to you live from sunny South Florida, pulling a Rush Limbaugh this week, except I'm not in like a 20,000 square foot private compound. I'm in a family member's condo and down here for the week doing all the same stuff. I got to teach 4 classes over the next couple days, doing radio every day. I wish I were at the Reopen NC protest today. I will be back next Tuesday, although I think they announced today that, hey, May 1st, that's what we're going with, the original ruling. They've got some sheriffs that they've talked to. I think they've got some county commissioners that they've talked to around the state of North Carolina that are saying, we're not going to enforce that anymore. So go back to work. So this is what has to happen right now. This is very similar to the American Revolution. Like, okay, we have taxation without representation. We have no representation in anything for the most part. So now we're just this chew toy for King George, and we're going to stand up against it. And I think that's what we're starting to see today and around the country, and thank goodness for that. But my good friend Jake McCauley was down there earlier today at the Reopen NC protest. He's with the Institute on the Constitution. Instituteontheconstitution.com. Jake is an excellent teacher. They have great free courses on the Constitution. And then, of course, Jake and I do the same thing. He teaches around the country. I teach in Raleigh. We're both passionate about the Constitution in the United States, but we're more passionate about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's what guides everything. That's what sets my compass, Jake. And I know that's what sets yours, but we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Amen. Well, I appreciate it. That reminds me of John Adams when he said that the church is to be the moral compass of a society, and that our Constitution was written for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any others. A people must be self-governed first, and that is what the issue is. We don't need the government's brains inside of our head. It's our brains to go into the government's head, the American view of law and government. is, number one, that there is a God. We acknowledge that. You acknowledge that as elected officials when you swear an oath to uphold the Constitution, because the Constitution acknowledges there is a creator God and that our rights come from our creator God, and that the only purpose and function of government is just to secure people's rights. It's not to give us anything. It's not to deem what business is essential or not essential. That is written nowhere in any founding documents. It's written nowhere in the North Carolina Constitution, and it's written nowhere in any resolution in the state of North Carolina, which is what we're talking about right now. Governor Cooper issuing executive orders, and folks, you can blanket this to all the other states. Because Steve, I know you're all over the country. I'm originally a Minnesota native. We have the same thing in play there. We have governments and governors issuing edicts. It's what our founding fathers called in the Declaration of Independence pretended legislation. These are laws or legislation that do not square with the laws of nature or nature's God. They do not square with the delegated authorities given by the people in the state or federal constitution. And that's what we're dealing with right now. Look, there is a virus, but there's also a virus agenda. The virus is going to go away. We are going to eventually pick the date. I've already started moving on with my life, but some people might take a month. Some people might take a couple weeks, and that's your choice. You do what you want to do.
Yep.
But that virus needs to stop. The virus agenda, excuse me. But you'll see and you'll find, like so much government encroachment, once the crisis is over, the overreach doesn't stop. It continues on because we've created a new normal. And I just want to lay this to everybody's candor. In the book Common Sense, Thomas Paine made the statement, a long habit of thinking a thing right gives it a superficial appearance of being right. So a long habit of not thinking a thing wrong, gives it a superficial appearance of being right. These patterns and these conditionings that are coming from government officials, we have to be so careful, because eventually, well, we've been doing it forever. I guess that's just how it is. No, it's not. And that's what I think the people down at Open NC, Reopen MC, are saying. That's what you're saying, Steve. It's what I'm saying. That's the danger.
Yeah, that is the danger. And you mentioned before the break, the self-government, because you have a teenager that's particularly susceptible to this. And so you choose for yourself how to deal with that. And that's, and again, I think they preyed on the good nature of most Americans. We're willing to shut down for a couple of weeks, take a big hit. But after that, as the numbers start rolling in and the reality becomes clearer and the fog of war starts to dissipate, we see that we see now clearly, and people need to get back to work. And I think right now it's a matter of more and more people are going to have to literally start just defying these things and saying, sorry, I can't afford to do this, and the $1,200 you sent me isn't going to carry me very far. I have to get back to my job. And for me, for us as Christians, I think of the Imago Dei and that God created us to be productive and to work. And if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an unbeliever. So I also look at this as just a complete violation of the Imago Dei, which our founding fathers obviously would have understood in the natural law and in the specified law and the word of God. But I don't expect that from most of our leadership today. They don't even know the Constitution.
Right. You know, I called my mayor, and tragically, he was a nice guy, wonderful guy. He's very charismatic, how he keeps getting elected. But he said, you know, you bring up the Constitution, but honestly, Jake, I don't have a clue about what it says. All I know is that people need to be safe. You heard the governor of New Jersey say those very words just a minute ago. And, you know, so what they say is we got to follow the science and we got to follow the medical side. But following that ever-changing stats of COVID-19 right now, it's as confusing as finding out the truth about the health of Kim Jong-un, you know? I mean, stay tuned, because there's always going to be a differing opinion. And that's what makes self-government so important. When I get posts and people send in hate mail saying to me, well, you just want to kill people. I wish you would die of COVID and refuse your health care. No. Not what we're saying. Everybody is concerned for a virus. But what overarches that virus is the virus agenda. And we cannot be too short-sighted to see that.
That's right. That's right. Jake, tell everybody real quick about Institute on the Constitution, and we'll let you go.
So at Institute on the Constitution, we teach the Constitution. And we have a course of study that does that. We've been around for a couple decades. We have graduates in all 50 states. We have a homeschool curriculum, a civics government curriculum. It's published by Master Books. We are right now, and we were going to do this before this happened, so it's kind of providential how the Lord is doing this. We've uploaded our resources digitally, so you can now take a Constitution course. There's 12 lectures. A 20-minute video accompanies each lecture. So this could be done in your church Bible study. It could be done in your men's group. It could be done on your Zoom groups, wherever you want to teach it. Also, if your students teach it, they get their civics government, because right now the only schools in session are home schools.
That's right.
And, well, I guess some private schools too. So that's what we've done. We've made it a mission to restore the biblical American view of law and government, which is quintessentially summed up by the Declaration of Independence, stating that there is a God, an omniscient God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's who the founders are referring to. That our rights come from God, and all 50 state constitutions acknowledge that in these United States. Rights come from God, not government. And lastly, the only purpose for government is Romans 13, to be God's minister. It says in the Declaration of Independence that governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, to secure the rights that God has given to people. So there's a God. Our rights come from Him. Purpose of government is secure your rights. You can find more info at theamericanview.com. We're giving a free course right now. We'd love for you to sign up and take that on our dime.
That's awesome. Jake, we got 30 seconds. Just offer up a prayer right quick. I'm going to make sure we do this live on the air. Just offer up a prayer for our nation, for our leaders, whatever you feel led to, for about 30 seconds. That'd be great.
You got it. Father, thank you for the book of Psalms. Thank you for the words that you have taught us to pray. And Lord, David said, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. For many were they that surrounded me, but they are fallen, and we are risen and stand upright. And we pray for your grace as your church to speak the prophetic word to the culture that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you, Jake. Thanks for calling in, bro. We'll talk to you and see
you
again real soon. You're welcome. Talk to you later. Okay, friends, I'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough,
welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Well, what would you do if you were in Donald Trump's shoes? How would you handle it? Well, our good friend Steve Dace, who was on the Blaze Network, he comes on after Glenn Beck every day, Monday through Friday. He comes on right at noon Eastern time for a couple hours. Steve was on the show last week. We're texting back and forth. He's sending me stuff. He's putting on Twitter. He's probably my favorite analyst out there because he's just brilliant. He's full of the Holy Spirit, and he's got a great edge to him. And so he sent this out. He sent me a link for it, and I read it, and I thought this was great. And this is just if you were the president, okay? This is Steve Dace. He posted this on April 25th. The answer is this stops now. The latest numbers out of Italy, people under 65 with no underlying conditions are 0.7-tenths of death there. The latest numbers out of New York City, people under 65 with no underlying conditions are only 1.8% of death there. But we're looking at 40% drop in GDP, which is straight out of the third world. Not to mention all the other health concerns that have not been addressed and now endanger people's lives. The depression, the stress on families, the rising domestic violence rates, stress on our food supply, etc. This is madness. Utter madness. Staggered reopening starting now. We are out of patience. Here's my proposal to go into effect May 1st. So this is Steve Dace writing for Donald Trump. Starting May 1st, those 55 and under with healthy immune systems return to real life immediately. We launch a national effort to encourage administer antibody testing throughout the country. By the way, hey, newsflash, my wife and I are getting antibody testings next Monday. So I'm really excited to tell you about that. So that's going to be like, it's like $125 a piece because we do a Christian sharing ministry for our healthcare stuff. So we're going to go do that on Monday. We both think we've had it. We both think our kids have had it. So we're going to go do the antibody test on Monday. So I'll tell you about that next week. So that's what he's talking about here, antibody testing, because that's what they're finding. A factor of 10, 20, 30, even the Stanford study could be as high as 50. 50 times more people have had it and gotten over it than we know. Because all we know about in the clock and the ticker are the people that were sick enough to warrant getting the test. So we don't even have the denominator right. The denominator is unknown, but it's getting more known, okay? Focus our SARS-2 coronavirus testing social distancing measures on those with weakened immune systems and over 55 before sending them back to reality. That's a matter of, that's using a laser, not an atom bomb. So we're gonna specify and really work to protect older people and people with underlying conditions that make them more susceptible. Keep those 65 and older social distance 42 more days to allow for the other demos to get reintegrated and allow for any further infection surge. I'm going to play a clip from those two ER doctors so you can learn more about that. Possibilities to make their way through three cycles of the virus's 14-day incubation period, just to make doubly sure we don't risk our elderly any more than they already are. but we let them out of their homes and their yards and neighborhoods to get the warmth and sun, provided that they have no symptoms and aren't positive for the virus. Did you hear that? Newsflash, this is true of all viruses. As far as I know, this is definitely true of the flu, and it's true now of coronavirus. Heat and humidity, heat and humidity, heat and humidity. Wow. So here's the problem. This is seasonal. So it's going to die down now because it's 85, 86 degrees and pretty humid down here in southern Florida. And that's going to start happening around the country by June, July. And then guess what? We're going to get back into the winter months. And because we haven't been out there, we haven't been able to develop our own immunity. We haven't been able to get herd immunity. People are going to start getting it again. And then what's the government going to do? I think they're going to want to do the exact same thing. There's little chance of outdoor exposure transmission, particularly with the sun and warmth now here, and basically zero from just passing someone on a sidewalk. Several studies in several countries have confirmed the odds of indoor transmission are dramatically higher. It's not even close. This way, by July 1st, at the absolute latest, Steve Dace writes, and the start of the new fiscal year for many, America's back to being America again. It's time we return America to the American people. Then, Steve Dace writing, this is for Trump, then take no questions from the childish enemy media. Walk off. Nothing more needs to be said. Mic drop. You're out of there, right? All right. I'm with you there, Steve Dace. That's a good one. Steve Dace, D-E-A-C-E, if you want to follow him and check him out. He's brilliant. So what about those two medical doctors, those two ER doctors? So YouTube pulls their whole hour and 20-minute press conference that they did last week in Southern California. YouTube pulled the whole thing. Based on what? Well, YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki. See if this doesn't sound to you like Orwellian 1984, big government, big brother control. Quote, anything that would go against World Health Organization recommendations would be a violation of our policy. Removal is another really important part of our policy, Wojcicki reportedly said. Anything that goes against the World Health Organization? You mean like science? You mean like facts? You mean like studies? You mean like the truth? If it goes against the quote unquote alleged truth of the World Health Organization, which Trump just defunded as far as the American dollars, praise the Lord for that. Gosh, if you go against them, we're going to take it down. So in honor of YouTube, this is different segments from these guys. I'm going to try to play all this for you. It's about 5 minutes. Okay. 4 minutes. Cause I want you to hear this, cause these are just two ER doctors who are actually seeing patients, who actually have studied these things, who are actually down in the trenches talking about the situation. This is the truth. YouTube doesn't want you to hear it, but I do.
After testing thousands of people in their county for COVID-19, doctors Dan Erickson and Artin Massini, owners of Accelerated Urgent Care in Bakersfield, California, held a press conference to share their data along with official CDC data. Dr. Erickson reported that hospitals in California have become empty as a result of allotting all resources to the COVID-19 pandemic.
The hospitals, their ICUs are empty, essentially, and they're shutting down floors. They're furloughing patients. They're furloughing doctors because we just don't have the volume. So we're busy with paperwork for COVID, and we're all focusing on COVID.
He then went over the COVID-19 numbers for the state of California.
We've seen 1,227 deaths in the state of California. That means you have a 0.03 chance of dying from COVID-19 in the state of California.
And for the state of New York?
19,410 out of 19 million people, which is a 0.1% chance of dying from COVID in the state of New York.
And then compared these numbers to the seasonal flu in 2017.
45 million total cases in 2017 with about 62,000 deaths, or a 0.13 chance of death from flu in the United States. So the lethality of COVID-19 is much less.
He then went on to report what is happening as a result of the shutdown and millions of hardworking people losing their jobs.
Child molestation is increasing at a severe rate. We could go over multiple cases of children who have been molested due to angry family members who are intoxicated, who are home, who have no paycheck. These things last a lifetime. This isn't about a seasonal flu. These are things that will follow these people and affect them in a negative fashion for their life. And these are for me talking to ERs, talking to my doctors, and talking to people across the country and finding out what they're seeing. Spousal abuse, alcoholism, anxiety, depression, suicide.
One of the most interesting moments of the press conference was when Dr. Erickson went on to explain the immune complex.
Oh, imagine
how
this.
Our immune
Check
system
this out.
Regularly
this is so
adapts
important.
To our environment.
The immune system is built by exposure to antigens, viruses, bacteria. When you're a little child crawling on the ground, putting stuff in your mouth, viruses and bacteria come in, you form an antigen antibody complex, you form IgG, IgM. This is how your immune system is built. When you take human beings and you say, go into your house, clean all your counters, Lysol them down, you're going to kill 99% of viruses and bacteria. Wear a mask, don't go outside. What does that do to our immune system? Our immune system is used to touching. We share bacteria, staphylococcal, streptococcal bacteria, viruses. We develop an immune response daily to this stuff. When you take that away from me, my immune system drops. As I shelter in place, my immune system drops. You keep me there for...
Now, I just thought this. God help us if there's some people involved with these decision makings that are doing this for that very reason. Population control, Fauci's in with Gates. I know I'm starting to sound like a wacko here, but that information is out there. Really, really alarming.
It drops more. Sheltering in place decreases your immune system. And then as we all come out of shelter in place with a lower immune system and start trading viruses and bacteria, what do you think is going to happen? Disease is going to spike. And then you've got disease spike amongst a hospital system with furloughed doctors and nurses.
Dr. Erickson reported that he has been in contact with leading physicians throughout California and that they are all in agreement.
And I've been working with some of the leaders, and I've talked to, you know, the head of the CDPH. I've gotten their opinion on this.
California.
And a lot of the leaders in Sacramento. And we're all in agreement. But we need to have Governor Newsom in agreement with us to lift this ban, because the data is showing us it's time to lift. So if we don't lift, what is the reason?
For InfoWars.com.
All right, so if we don't lift, what is the reason? That's where this gets dark. Dare I say demonic? And there's all kinds of weird stuff going on in here, and it's multifaceted like a diamond, and we need to be paying attention to this stuff. And holy cow, I mean, this is just crazy. So part of it, ineptness. So all of a sudden, isn't this fascinating? I love this. I was just thinking this as well, and they're talking about Newsom. We need to get Newsom to understand these facts. We need to get Newsom to all of a sudden accept science. They cry science all the time. Hey, you Christians, you're anti-science. Hey, you pro-lifers, you're anti-science. Hey, you people that don't believe man-made global warming is the big problem that it's made out to be. You're a science denier. Who's the science denier now? Newsom. Looks like Fauci. Maybe Burks. All kinds of governors. Governor Cooper. Now they're science deniers. But they were already science deniers because out of about 6,000 biologists around the world, most of them PhD-level biologists, 96% of them said human life begins at conception. So if you say that's not a human being that we're aborting all day long every day, then you're a science denier. This is crazy. Just, Lord, help us in Jesus' name. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, continuing to chase the truth. And again, I'll just remind you, if you're newer to the show, I've been on the radio since 2007. We did 3 years on Saturdays. We've done daily started in February of 2011. So this is like the 10th year being on daily. Facebook Live started a couple years ago. So this is an actual radio show. And then we put it out on Facebook Live. Okay, so we've got plenty of history doing this. And just in case you're wondering, I am a registered independent. I've never voted for a Democrat. I never will. Unless they all of a sudden repent of their baby-killing ways. And that's a part of their agenda. That's a part of their platform. So until they change their orthodoxy, I can't even go anywhere there. You could have the most brilliant fiscal Democrat ever known to man. And if he's pro-death of babies, your moral compass is so far off, I'm not going anywhere with you. So I'm an independent that always votes for conservatives, never voted for a Democrat, can't imagine I ever will. I appreciate Donald Trump. I pray for Donald Trump. I support Donald Trump most of the time. But when I can't, I don't. And that's when on my own Facebook pages, people are like, well, you're obviously a liberal. I'm like, have you listened to my radio show for 60 seconds? That's the last thing anybody knows me would call me as a liberal. But people get so whacked out because I'm telling you, Trump derangement syndrome also exists on the right. for people that can't take any application of criticism. That's idolatry, friends. You know you're guilty of idolatry when your idol gets attacked and you get defensive. You got to be really careful with that. So I've said this before, ad nauseum. My job, your job, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, is to call, in this culture, speaking truth to power, to call balls and strikes based on the Word of God. That truth, the overarching meta narrative, that truth, we call balls and strikes based on that truth, and it should not ever matter to you who's standing at the plate, be it the guy I voted for, Donald Trump, or somebody else. If it's me standing at the plate, you apply truth no matter what. If your last name is Noble or not, if you're my brother or sister or Christ or not, you apply biblical truth to me too. You don't hold back. I don't hold back. Okay? So that's the deal. So sometimes when I lean into something Trump said or done, you got to remember that's where I'm coming from. I'm not like some anti-Trump person. I'm pro-God, pro-biblical worldview, pro-ultimate, down the line, pro-America, pro-you, pro-me, pro-everybody, pro-unborn, pro-born, pro-rich, poor, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, employed, unemployed, underemployed, whatever. So that's the deal, okay? You got to remember that. All right, so listen to this. Did you hear about this? Probably not. Temporary restraining order issued against Governor Pritzker over stay-at-home order. That just came out earlier today. I love this. We need to see this in North Carolina and every other state. So this is in Illinois. A temporary restraining order has been issued against Governor Pritzker by Clay County judge over the stay-at-home order. An injunction has also been ordered. This comes after state representative, God bless this man, Darren Bailey, filed a lawsuit against the Illinois governor and his stay-at-home order, which is what Jake McCauley from Institute on the Constitution was talking about earlier. They cannot deprive you legally of your right to go provide for yourself. They can't. So this guy's like, forget it. I'm suing. And that's so awesome. And then they got a temporary injunction. This does not mean the current stay-at-home order has been lifted. Governor Pritzker's legal team has a week to appeal the judge's ruling, according to the attorney general who is representing Pritzker. This is in Illinois. The order does not impact the entire state, and there's an argument there. The governor's office said if they lose the appeal on Tuesday, they will issue the new directive. So instead of orders, they'll call them directives, which Jake was talking about this earlier, and I agree. If the government wants to come out and say, hey, here's some suggestions, here's some directives, here's what we think you should be doing, we're really serious about this, but you have constitutional rights, and we respect you, and we actually think most of you are pretty intelligent, and you can take care of your neighbor and yourself and work and provide all at the same time. You guys, you Americans, you can actually chew gum and walk at the same time. You can pat your head and rub your belly at the same time, which for those of you on Facebook Live, I'm doing that right now. See that? Wow, we believe in the American people. No, they don't. A lot of them don't. They just don't. We're all idiots to them, especially if you're a Christian, Bible-thumping, gun-toting, believe that Bible, idiots. However, an attorney WAND-TV spoke with read the ruling differently, saying this could apply to Illinois as a whole. If so, the state could return to normal Friday, unless another judge gets involved to overturn the ruling. The ruling only applies to Bailey, this particular county. But the lawyer said because Governor Pritzker is acting on behalf of the government, he believes Pritzker can now issue a new ruling and exclude Bailey, this particular county, therefore making it binding for the entire state, except for a county. Good luck with that. Because you don't apply constitutional principles one county at a time. It applies to all counties, all states, all the time. That's the supremacy clause of the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution reigns supreme over all state and local law. So if your local law, your state law, violates constitutional principles, then you got to get it into court. That's why some of these gals that were arrested earlier today, yes, I said gals, I hope they sue. What do you mean I can't walk on the sidewalk around the governor of North Carolina's mansion? That's public sidewalk, which, by the way, the taxpayers paid for. That's an illegal arrest. What are you talking about? You got to start suing them. And this isn't about, and if you're going to start quoting the Bible to me, which is great if you can, and say, hey, Christians, we're not supposed to sue each other. Correct. We're not supposed to sue each other in the body of Christ. Bring a mediator in. Bring an elder in. Bring a deacon in. Bring a pastor, a teacher. Bring them in. But I love this story. We need to start seeing this in more and more places. I mentioned at the beginning of the show the salon owner in Dallas who flat out said, I'm opening. I don't care what you guys do. And they came out and they issued her a citation and she's like, she held it up on the camera later and said, I'm not paying this. That's what you need. And people go, what about Romans 13? I'm so glad you asked. Romans 13, submit to the governing authorities. Is that a blanket statement? Do you think Paul was talking about that? Now, remember the context. Context is king, if you're studying the Bible. This is a remarkable thing about Romans 13, because who was in charge when Paul wrote it? Nero. Nero was the Caesar at the time, who used Christians like tiki torches to light up his gardens at night. That's Nero. So that's Paul, submit to the governing authorities. What governing authorities, Paul? You mean Rome? Yes. Is there any limits to that? Yes, there are. There are limits to that. This was the big contention in the early days of this nation. Hey, we have rights that are not provided by the government. We have God-given rights, inalienable rights. And one of those, by the way, is the right to go provide for your family. That's why the Bible makes such a big deal out of it. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. And if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an unbeliever. And so our founding fathers understood that. That was all part of the deal. That's the natural law, and the specific law is found in the Word of God. It's found in the Bible. Okay, so you start looking at that and go, okay, so did Paul mean we should obey the government, everything the government says? Of course not. You don't obey anything. The government wants to force you to violate the natural law, the law of God, the Word of God. No, you don't. You walk away. You stand up. And that's what Peter and John did when they were told, hey, by the way, your job out there preaching the gospel, talking about this Jesus guy, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. You need to stop that, as a matter of fact. Shut up. You need to stop. And what did Peter and John say? Sorry. We must obey God rather than man. We can't help but speak about that which we have seen and heard. And so, essentially, you do what you got to do. We'll do what we got to do. Same thing with practicing your religion, going out to an abortion clinic and praying there. And the government says, you can't do that. Well, yeah. Yeah, I can. I'm practicing my religion. By the way, you don't just practice your religion on Sunday at church, do you? Or Saturday evening if you go to a really cool church? Is that it? Is that the only time you practice your religion? I sure hope not. You're always practicing your religion. You're always worshiping. You're either worshiping well or you're not. I'm either worshiping well or I'm not. For you guys, you get to hear that 5 days a week, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, whether I'm worshiping well or not. So you have to understand the intricacies of Scripture, not over-apply it. You have to know it in context. And so there are times when you have a right as a follower of Jesus Christ to say no to the government, because God tells you, hey, provide for your family. Practice your religion. Surrender to me. Worship me. Follow me. Be obedient to me. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And if the government says, sorry, you can't do that, now you got a problem. So who are you going to obey then? Are you going to obey God or are you going to obey man? That's never a question. Biblically speaking, it's never a question. That's an easy one. Piece of cake. And by the way, it's not mutually exclusive to care about yourself, your income, your business, your employees, the people on down the line, suppliers, everybody else involved with whatever business you work at, or if you own a business. It's not mutually exclusive to care about all that and care about older people and vulnerable people and people that have COVID-19. You can do all that at the same time. The government doesn't think you can. But God made you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You have way more ability than you think you do. So you got to remember that. And then let's make sure as we finish up today. And tomorrow I'm going to open up the phones. I wanted to do that today, but with the reopen NC thing going on and with Jake being down there, I wanted to make sure we covered all those bases. And these things are changing every day. So tomorrow, I really want to open up the phones tomorrow. I'm just going to give the show to you, and I want you to call it. It's always the same number, by the way, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, just get that one in your head, put it in your phone, 866-34-TRUTH. But I want to see what you think about all this. What do you believe? What do you think about the situation? What do you think we should do now? What do you think about reopening? What do you think about COVID-19? Do you think people like me are lunatics and we don't care? We're hateful. We don't love our neighbor. What kind of Christian are you? Or do you agree? I want to do that tomorrow. We got to keep having this conversation, and the government and YouTube cannot shut it down. And I can tell you this, if they ever tell me to stop talking, I'm going to be just like Peter and John. God help me on that day. And I'll say, sorry, not going to do it. You're going to have to throw me in jail to shut me up. Okay. That's the deal. All right. Okay. This is Steve Noble. This is the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. We'll open up the phones tomorrow. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Or 866-34-TRUTH. That's tomorrow. Show's all yours tomorrow. I want to hear what you're thinking. how you're processing through this. What are you doing? How are you being affected by the coronavirus and what the government's doing? Like I said, God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.